News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. All right, we are back right now. The Green Raw Deal. Green Raw Deal, that's what I'm calling it. Yeah, they walked right into that one. Give me the name, the Green Raw Deal. Too easy. I mean, it's what they do, though. The Green New Deal, they like to call it the Green Raw Deal, I call it. So here I am looking at articles related to the Green Raw Deal. You and I are paying a lot of money at the pump right now that we weren't paying a mere year and a half to 2 years ago. I mean, and you know it. If you went anywhere for the 4th of July, you know how much it cost. I mean, I've got family members that just literally had to move up north to Michigan, and the cost of driving back and forth, unbelievable compared to where it was before. I went just the other day and literally just put $20 in my gas tank. $20 got me nothing. Nothing. A few days before that, I put $45 in. I got three quarters of a tank. What in the? I mean, it's unbelievable. So, yeah, the Green Raw Deal. However, what we're facing right now is not – I'm okay. You know, you listen to the show. I try to have my resources ready. I try to make sure that I'm providing background to my commentary. But I'm going to tell you right now, I say that because I'm not what I would call a conspiracy theorist who will go with whatever social media tells me and I get inflamed. That's not the way I operate. But I'll tell you right now, I'm beyond it. I am beyond believing that our southern border is just happening because they're not sure how best to go forward. Their plan is to let it happen the way it is. I am of the firm belief that some of what we're seeing in inflation is because of their plan to let it happen. I'm of the firm belief that there are certain things that have happened, like baby formula, you know, shortages. They knew it and they let it happen. And I am of the firm belief that what we're seeing right now in terms of the cost of fuel and energy overall, they know it. Not only do they know it, they planned it. And that's not a conspiracy theory because they're saying it now. They're to the point right now, they're no longer even ashamed, or at least they don't have enough of a governor on themselves to not say it. So story here, this one came off Fox News. Did you hear this the other day? So Fox News headline is, high gas prices are worth it for the future of the liberal world order, said a White House economics advisor. Yeah, in a CNN interview, literally. White House economic advisor Brian Deese, the story came out July 1st, so we're looking at 4 days ago. White House economic advisor Brian Deese suggested that the pain at the pump was a price that Americans had to pay for the future of the liberal world order. Those are his words. Future of the liberal world order. Okay. There are some of you who are already conspiracy theorists who just literally had your hackles go up and you began like stockpiling like as I spoke. But I don't blame you. CNN newsroom host Victor Blackwell played a clip of President Biden telling a reporter at Thursday's NATO summit that Americans can continue to pay a premium for gas as long as it takes to win the war in Ukraine, which we know has nothing to do with the overall price of gas. Blackwell, that's the CNN host, Blackwell then asked Deese, that's the White House guy, how the White House would respond to Americans who are worried they can't continue to sustain life over $5 a gallon. So here's the deal. Here's what he said. I'm going to read you his quote. You ready? Brace yourselves. This is what Blackwell's question was, and I'll tell you what Deese responded as. So Blackwell's question was, the military analysts, the director of national intelligence, say this could be a long war measured in years. He said, I think everybody understands why this is happening, but is it sustainable? What do you say to those families that say, listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years. This is not sustainable. That was the question. Here's the response. Quote from Deese, quote, what you heard from the president today was a clear articulation of the stakes. This is about the future of the liberal world order. We have to stand firm. What? He went on to say this when he was asked further, because Blackwell, I'll be honest with you, a CNN guy, go figure. I mean, here in the studio, we usually have CNN up, too, just to make sure I know what's happening. Because you have to know what the enemy's saying, right? But Blackwell, this guy Blackwell, was kind of putting it to him. He cited an AP poll to the guy then, finding that 69% of Americans disapprove of the job the president is doing on the economy, and 85% are unhappy with the direction the country is going overall. Deese responded this way. You ready? He responded that he sympathized with Americans' frustrations, but said they need to remember the Biden administration has made historic economic progress, and this was a transition. So we've got liberal world order and transition. We got the president, by the way, if you recall, just last week, or a week before, who, when asked about gas prices, said it was the necessary price of transition. Are you hearing this? Economic policy advisor to the president himself, referring to our high gas prices as part of our transition. And then old boy named Deist just goes one step further, and he says it's something necessary with regards to the liberal world order. Well, I got news. There's a whole bunch of us right-side ruffians that are not a part of your liberal world order. And we don't appreciate the fact that we have the capacity right now, literally, to get something done in a much more attainable, amenable capacity, and they're refusing to do it. Why do I say they're refusing to do it? Because the industry has already told him what would help to take gas prices down. The Epoch Times got an article here, which I'll start now and probably have to finish it up after the break. But here's the deal. It says Biden, here's the title of it, Epoch Times, dated July 4th, yesterday. Biden's fiery gas station Twitter post trolled by a U.S. energy group. Now, I love this, by the way. When the industry is just going to go ahead and poke right back at the president of the United States, you know he has lost his audience. So it says a major American energy lobby has taken aim at a presidential Twitter post that called on gas stations to cut their prices at the pump. By the way, I have friends that own gas stations and friends that own oil and gas supply companies. They don't make their money off the gas. They do, but not like you think. The idea that the president of the United States is so clueless, or at the very least, so intent upon creating a diversionary tactic that he's, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. That's what he's doing. He's basically saying, don't look at me. I'm just the president. They got high gas prices over there. Well, they do because you created the high gas prices, Mr. President. Here's the response to the oil and gas from the Oil and Gas Association to the president's post. Well, I tell you what, this is too good. I'm going to save this one because the response back from the oil and gas folks is like one of the most epic trolls to come out of any industry to the president of the United States, maybe ever. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Number two of the Triple Dipper, the Green Raw Deal, continues when we get back. Y'all stay tuned. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Hey, by the way, top of the hour, stay tuned for this, Copper and the Birdman at 4 p.m. We'll be doing that. And hey, Copper, what's the note you got on the board right there? What's that about? That note you got on the board for me right there about that shooting. Was that the shooting that happened up in Illinois yesterday? Or?
Yeah, that's right. That was literally 10 minutes from where my family was celebrating the 4th of July. So it was pretty scary seeing those headlines.
Yeah, that's a topic we might pick up tomorrow or the next day or something. But yeah, it's. I mean, the story's still unfolding, so I wanted to make sure the story developed before we... I can see right now up on the big screen here in the studio that... The deputy chief of public information, I guess it is, for Highland Park Police is updating the press. But this guy apparently dressed up in women's clothes, snuck up on the roof of a building, and just began shooting innocent bystanders at a 4th of July celebration. And he had apparently been planning it for quite a while. Just unreal what people do. You can look at his picture and tell he was not right.
He was arrested, though, last night.
Yeah, they got him. Yeah. They got him. And, you know, He ran like a scared child, and they had to chase him down in a vehicle. I think he actually wrecked trying to get away from the police. I don't get it. But anyway, okay, all right, enough of that. And I'm glad to hear your folks were safe. So were they celebrating at home or in a public place?
Yeah, they were out at a park.
They were at a park.
All the events got canceled instantly, and everybody was told to go home. And
this is up around Chicago,
yeah,
right?
That's right, Chicago suburbs.
Yeah, and I think the last count that I heard, he's up on the roof with a rifle, killed 6 people and 23 more injured.
Yeah.
That's the count that I last saw. All right, we will cover that at some point soon when we can do it more justice. It's a developing story, so I wanted to get it a little more developed first. All right, hey, listen, going back to the topic at hand, though, right now, the Green Raw Deal. The Green Raw Deal. I'm looking, I'm sorry. The gunman's picture just came up online. You look at him, he looks like a cartoon character.
Oh, wow.
A bad cartoon character, but a cartoon character nonetheless. All right, story from the Epoch Times. I started to talk about this before. This is the this is one of the best trolls. This is when the lobbying organizations are no longer afraid to just go ahead and rock your boat, then you know you've lost that audience. So it says this: President Joe Biden, his official Twitter account, literally tweeted out something to the extent of, you know, all gas stations need to cut their gas prices at the pump, like right now. And the president also said that in a speech. Well, so the Oil and Gas Association, U.S. Oil and Gas Association, responded by saying, "We're working on it." And it said, "Have a happy 4th, and please make sure the White House intern who posted this tweet registers for Economy 101 for the fall semester." You know what's crazy? Is they probably do have, in that White House communications department, they probably do have a college intern running the social media account for the official White House social media account. They've better start having some screeners on some. But then again, who knows? You know what? The president himself uttered the word, so why would they not post it now that I think about it? All right. I mentioned this being a diversionary tactic, but then the president, you know, literally is out there giving these speeches and saying, and here, in fact, here's what the presidential Twitter account did say. "This is a time of war and global peril. Bring down the price you're charging at the pump to reflect the cost you're paying for the product, and do it now." It's like an order. Yeah, we'll get back to you on that. Your policies are the one causing it. Well, then Jeff Bezos, same story here from Epoch Times. I said this on Twitter, by the way, yesterday. That day the president lost Jeff Bezos, so is Jeff Bezos going to be the nominee in 2024? Makes you wonder. Things that make you go, Here's the quote from Jeff Bezos on Twitter. He says, "Inflation is far too important a problem for the White House to keep making statements like this. It's either straight ahead misdirection or a deep misunderstanding of basic market dynamics." I have not agreed with Jeff Bezos many times. Like many, many times. Like all the time. And today I agree with him because that's exactly what's happening here. This is an absolute attempt by the Biden administration to either just cause a misdirection, you know, like a faint. You know, it was a pump fake. They'd say, "What do I do?" Or they just don't understand the market at all. It could be either one. But you know what? I said earlier that I think this is all intentional. So I'm going to go with the fact that they don't necessarily have a deep misunderstanding that this is seriously just a misdirection. They want prices up. They want us to be that thing that we're moving away from. You know, the oil and gas industry altogether to get to their green raw deal. Well, the price of gasoline, according to the Epoch Times, and we all know it, is around double what it was when Biden took office. With the president variously blaming oil industry greed, a lack of refining capacity, global supply shortfalls set against the post-pandemic rebound, and the war in Ukraine. So, yeah, he's got all kinds. It's always about something else. Always about something else. Meanwhile, here's what the oil and gas industry is telling him you could do right now, sir. You could do this right now. The oil and gas industry says you could boost near-term crude production and refining significantly in 3 ways. Are you ready for this? I agree. Number 1, accelerate the permitting process for oil and gas projects by invoking the National Defense Act for oil and gas. I'm not a fan, by the way, of how the Biden administration has abused emergency orders. But if you're going to invoke the National Defense Act in order to get more solar panels from China, then surely to goodness, you can invoke the National Defense Act for oil and gas production to help stymie some of the inflation being caused by the high cost of energy. All right. There's number one, accelerate the permitting process. Number two, commit to refilling the Strategic Petroleum Oil Reserve at a minimum of $80 per barrel. What that's saying is pump more of what you got. I'm going to store it. The government will buy it from you with a guaranteed government check. Not a big fan, but however, I am a big fan of the Strategic Oil Reserve. And Biden has been draining the strategic. We are at the lowest levels in our strategic oil reserves, which are supposed to be there in a time of war or crisis. And he's draining them. He's using that to try and supply the market. It's not having any sustained effect on the market, but it is draining our reserves, which means in the event of war or crisis, we don't have what it takes to fuel the weapons of war or those of recovery. And that's happening right now. So number one, commit to refilling it. Well, then they'll be pumping for capacity that they also know that they can see a buyer for today. It's called a futures. They know the futures in that regard, and they'll go and go for it. And number three, announce liquid natural gas supply contracts with international partners, which he said would incentivize natural gas production. So all said and done, there are ways around this. They just don't want to go there. They just don't want to go there. Well, the rush towards green energy, according to Fox in another article that I've got right here, dated July 4th, rush towards green energy has left the U.S. incredibly vulnerable to summer blackouts, expert warns. I don't know if you've ever seen rolling blackouts. I haven't here. This is the United States of America. Why would I see a rolling blackout in the United States of America? But what I have seen in other places is exactly that, where the grid cannot sustain current actions. And so the grid not being able to sustain it has to shut down in certain places in order to keep the grid from collapsing. It's called a rolling blackout. Rolling because they recognize that there's, you know, sort of a lack of equity when you shut down one place full time. So what you do is you roll the blackouts. You roll it off here, you turn it back on later so they can have some air conditioning and some refrigerators, and then you turn it off somewhere else. And that way you're keeping the grid from collapsing, but not everybody gets 24-hour, no matter whether you're paying for it or not. It's not about having your bill turned off because you can't pay for it. It's about the infrastructure not being able to sustain the levels required. Well, according to the story from Fox dated yesterday, every area of the U.S. could be in danger of experiencing power outages this summer amid a push to convert to renewable energy sources while taking traditional sources of power offline. This boggles my mind. You know, right now Germany's refiring their coal plants. Do you know that? Right now Germany has said, okay, enough. We find ourselves being held captive to Russia. So, you know, forget that. Let's go ahead and refire the coal plants. Well, quote here from a guy named Daniel Turner, who's the founder and executive director at a group called Power of the Future. He says, I think the entire country is incredibly vulnerable because the entire country is facing a huge energy shortage, and I don't think there's any place that is truly safe from it. He went on to say that certain states are under increased threat this year. He says the areas of the country I'd be most concerned about are the ones that already have inherent weaknesses, like Texas, California, New Mexico, New York, all of New England. These are areas whose policies and political decisions have weakened their electrical grid. And the outages come, it says, as many of these states have moved to take their traditional sources of energy, such as coal and natural gas, offline. By the way, that's happening here. TVA, Alabama Power, shutting down coal plants. Literally moving to, you know, alternative sources. And you look at it and go, is that going to work long term? Well, he just mentioned California. Well, what about the fact, though, that California is moving even further along? So here's California at risk. California, highest gas prices in the nation, over $7 a gallon in a lot of places in California. And yet, here's the thing from FoxNews.com, dated June 23rd, just about a month ago. A few weeks ago. California air regulators draw criticism with their new carbon neutrality plan. By 2045, they want to slash fossil fuel use such that basically, story says here, they're going to have a requirement for 30 times as many electric vehicles on the road compared to today. Where do they think they get the electricity to power these cars? They have to be recharged, right? At some point, you have to have them recharged. Well, I'm just saying this is a fallacy. They don't have the technology to do this in a sustainable fashion. They don't have what it takes to power California on this level of carbon neutral systems. And yet they're going to go for it. And I got news. When the biggest economy, I mean, California has an economy that is bigger than most nations in the world by itself. And when California goes down, we all get dragged with it. Look at what happened with the supply chain last year when the ports in California were boondoggled and we could not get anything unloaded. And you had ships piled up out at sea waiting for their turn to come to a port where no one was working. When California becomes an anchor to the rest of the nation, the rest of the nation is going to speak up. And at some point, I'm just telling you, the green raw deal, it ain't working. I got some other stuff around this worldwide push towards the green raw deal. I'll tell you about after the break. Let's go take that break, Copper. When we get back from that one, not only California, I got to tell you, I mean, other things happening in California, but have you heard what's going on with the Dutch farmers? This is like funny, not funny. Yeah, more of that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams right back on the air, and I got a caller on line two. So, Copper, let's go ahead and grab that. It's Sparky from Harvest. Sparky, how you doing today?
I'm awesome. Hey, I've been long under the belief in my life and practices that man should always pollute less. We should find ways to not pollute the air, the soil, the water. And the U.S. has led the world in the last 20 years in every category of the above. We pollute less than anybody, but we should never be blackmailed and coerced by crooked politicians with a crooked agenda into living a life of this woke green nonsense by people that demonstrated that they're dishonest people. And if you ask the most ardent believer in man-made climate change, it's really simple, Phil. Hey, name the study. Since the science is behind you here, name the study that convinced you that man-made global climate change is real. And the answer will be, I don't know, because a definitive one doesn't exist. Well, name the lead scientist. They can't name one because there's never been a definitive study that revealed that man-made climate change is real. It's all a crooked scam. We should always endeavor to do better, and the U.S. leads the world in it, and I'm proud to be an American, but we're not going to be coerced into all this nonsense. We're not.
No, totally agree, Sparky. Great. I guess he's gone. All right. Great analysis on his part. And he's right. Not only are we not going to be coerced, we shouldn't have to, they shouldn't even think for a second that we could be coerced. And I totally agree. The United States leads the way. What Sparky just described there about, I feel the exact same way. It's called stewardship. We are, as a nation, the most, prolific stewards, good stewards of what God has given us. Now, have there been problems in the past, the Dust Bowl and things? Yes, but you know what? As a nation right now, yes, we are the best stewards of the environment of any nation in the world, and yet it's never enough. It's never enough. Never, ever enough. And there's always, we're going to move completely away. Is everybody else going to move completely away? I mean, it are they? Are we just going to go ahead and make ourselves into a third world country because you can't sustain the grid because you were determined to use solar and wind? Solar and wind, which, by the way, are not sustainable in the market right now on their own without government subsidies. So what you're going to do then is create government energy? I mean, let's try to use some common sense. At the very least, for God's sakes, try to use some common sense. But they don't. I mean, look at the study I told you about on Fox News talking about the fact that California air regulators are moving forward with their new carbon neutrality plan. I just look at this and go, good Lord. They say that they're going to reduce petroleum demand across the economy and the use of fossil natural gas in buildings by 91% by 2045. Wow. Doing so would require 30 times as many electric vehicles on the road compared to today. 6 times more electric appliances in homes, 4 times more wind and solar generation, and 60 times more hydrogen. Okay. Even with such a sweeping transition, the plan estimates that California will still emit at least 94 million metric tons of carbon dioxide, which is about 22% of their state emissions today. But they're moving forward. And the oil industry, by the way, has responded to California's plan, saying, for its part, the plan imposes so many bans and mandates that are considered unworkable, and they're going to do nothing but raise prices. You go figure. So who gets to pay for this? The consumer? When you can't sustain the grid, when you can't get your vehicle charged up to be able to go to work, when you can't, I mean, so what happens when rolling blackouts when you have an electric vehicle? You don't have the luxury of getting in the car and turning on the air conditioning when your baby is sweating in the house. You don't have the luxury of driving to the store or taking the kids to a movie because the power's out in the house and hoping you can go to the movie theater and just sit in there for a while and enjoy the air conditioning or do something entertaining. You don't have the luxury of going to the store and buying cold products because your refrigerator goes out so often you're afraid to keep milk in it. Listen, there are places in the world where that's what the grid is like. Not here. Not here. In the United States of America, we have revolutionized the energy sector to the extent that if you turn a switch on, you expect there to be light. And if you have an air conditioning gaffe, you expect to be able to call someone and get it fixed. You do not expect your government to set standards and conditions that drive you to the place where you can no longer see the things that this country has been built upon allowed to be sustained. Well, it's not just us. I'm just telling you, it's not just, and by the way, these rolling blackouts, they've already started. Let me just say this. Well, I'm not even going to get through this segment, Copper. Wow. We've already got rolling blackouts. Stanford University canceling classes because of rolling blackouts, the power outages on campus. Wow. All right, I'm going to tell you about Dutch farmers later. Coming up next, though, Copper the Birdman. Have a little time to hear what my other folks have to say, not just me. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.